Starts with the O&D line, and they stepped up and set the tempo, and then you can go all the way through the team after that. But really with those two groups, they set the tempo for the rest. The coordinators, I thought, did a great job of putting together a nice game plan, one that was very manageable for the players. And
that's Andy Reid, not the world's most exciting interview, but maybe also one more candidate for Coach of the Year. It's very exciting when a coach is consistent throughout, but you can throw that out the window this year. We're joined by Len Dawson, along with Larry Weiss. And Len, you've got a bad cold, buddy. You're playing hurt. I love it.
Yeah, right. I shouldn't have gone to the West Coast for two night games in a row and being on an airplane with all those germs that those football players throw around.
Yeah. Don't know where those come from. Hey, Len, how many times did you play with the flu or with a bad cold?
I generally get one a year, during the football season. And I used to get them in training camp, which was terrible, because get a cold in training camp, and you know what Liberty, Missouri is like in the summertime. It's close to 100 degrees with 100 all that degrees. Humidity, so it's not fun at all. But it's one of these things you got to deal with.
Well, let's talk about that game last night as you were in there in bed watching the Dallas game, and we were talking about T.O. and the lack of effort, the lack of fundamentals that he's shown. But forget about T.O. Let's talk about Philadelphia, the job that Andy Reid has done, and, of course, the job that Jeff Garcia has done to resurrect his career and also resurrect the season. They clinched a playoff spot after being considered dead in the water 5 weeks ago.
Well, I'll tell you, I was very impressed with Garcia, because he looks to me like a football player. He looks to me like somebody that knows what the heck is going on and can improvise and do some things on his own when the protection might break down and turn it a negative into a positive. So I was really impressed with him, and I thought that, that most people thought that Philadelphia was dead when they had to go to him when their quarterback got hurt. But on the other side of that coin, he's playing as well or, as well as that other quarterback would have been doing.
Larry Weissman, if you are Andy Reid and the Eagles, don't you make every effort to keep Jeff Garcia for next year, knowing the chances of injury to your quarterback are so high?
Well, you're going to certainly need somebody to start the season, and I would think that the McNabb injury might be, a full year. And when you look at what happened with Dante Culpepper trying to push his way back too soon off a knee injury, you have to think you may need a different starter. You may need somebody to carry you through the first eight next year, and I think you have to play to the sense with Jeff Garcia that he's gone other places and tried to start with bad teams, and that didn't work. And really, the only team that was chasing him at all this offseason was Philadelphia. So maybe the loyalty argument can carry the day.
Hey, Lenny, as a quarterback, the example that you show is fundamental to the rest of your teammates. And Tony Romo, for all of the Pro Bowls and all the fact that they're probably going to the playoffs, all those wonderful things, he is on the field with Carrie Underwood, the American Idol star, a few hours before the game. I don't care if it's 6 hours before the game. Don't you think that's a distraction? Don't you think that's a message that he's not totally focused?
I would think so. I mean, that could be after the game. I mean, I wouldn't talk to anybody before a football game. You're particularly the quarterback position.
Even on Christmas Day.
You could be good, goodwill for all men, but, the business is football, and you have to concentrate on football. When the game is over, then you can do whatever you want, but, my goodness, the guys I played with, you could hardly talk to them because they were fired up and ready to go. It builds up through the week until Sunday, or whenever you play, Monday, Sunday, Saturday. To that particular point, you work up to that, and your focus should entirely be on the football game. Maybe the quarterbacks ought to start calling some plays, because if you're calling plays like we had to do when I was playing, you better be concentrating on the game and not be thinking about something else.
What do you do if you're Bill Parcells at this point?
Well, that's his guy. He made the move, and it was successful, except yesterday it wasn't successful. He didn't play well at all. But, that's the guy that he's counting on, the guy of the future for the Dallas Cowboys. So all he can do is set him down and remind him what he's there for, particularly on game day. And, it's good to look like you're loose, but you had better be focused.
Len Dawson and Larry Weissman, at the end of the year, we're looking at the coaching jobs of the year. We talked about Mangini. We certainly don't believe Art Schell or Mr. Marinelli in Detroit are going to get it, but Brian Billick, Schottenheimer, Andy Reid, and also Mr. Fisher in Tennessee. But, of course, without a guy named Vince Young, that wouldn't have happened. What do you think about that? Do you think that Mr. Fisher deserves a vote for Coach of the Year? Let's start with Len.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's turned that thing around. When he went to Vince Young, he turned that thing around, and, you know, it's been phenomenal how they come up, and now they start believing in themselves. I don't think, you know, before he put Vince Young in there, that that team really believed that they were any good and they could win. They hadn't won in the last few years, and so this guy really gave them a tremendous spark. Now, that's one coach, I think, in Drew Brees in New Orleans. What a phenomenal job he has done, and that young coaching staff there as well, and in New York with the Jets, too. So there are some candidates there that have really done much, much better than people anticipated they were going to do this year.
Who would you give the top vote to?
I don't know. I like the guy in New Orleans. What they've done, what they've been through. My goodness, from last year and, you know, picking them up from the ashes of nothing to being a contender. Now they believe that they can win, and they're playing like winners.
And it, to me also, Larry, the way that you see Reggie Bush, 125 yards rushing. They've experimented. They've fine-tuned. The complete team that New Orleans is, that is such a wholesale change. It's not just one player. It's not just the offense. It's not just the defense or special teams. It's the complete team. So, yeah, there's a strong argument that Sean Payton may be the best vote.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You bring in a talent like Reggie Bush, and you have to find the right role for the guy. He's not somebody you want ramming the ball up the middle. They have Deuce McAllister come back. He's quietly had a very good year. They got rid of Dante Stallworth before the season started, but Devery Henderson emerged as a great deep threat. So the moves they've made, the way they've approached the games, and the ability that Sean Payton has had to put in an organizational structure that club so sorely lacked before just puts him over the top for me.
Let's go back to Vince Young and whether Len Dawson, Vince Young would be the same quarterback this year and what he's accomplished with six straight victories and a real shot now, the playoffs. I mean, it's just amazing to me, but Norm Chow has to be a big part of that. Here is Tim Brown talking about the leadership that a great quarterback can bring, even a rookie like Vince Young.
Houston, and I know it's Houston, but still, for them to come back and beat Houston the way they did, you know, you hear the players in the locker rooms that this guy looked us in the eyes, you know, before that last drive and was asking who wants it, you know, and talking to the players like that. Well, that's not something that you hear a rookie quarterback say. You know, that's not something that you hear a guy who's supposed to be green at that position step into a huddle and say. But this is a guy who loves those type situations, who loves to have the ball in his hands when everything is on the line. And, you know, and I've been saying on our show that, you know, I have not seen a rookie quarterback ever come into the league, since I've been following the ball anyway, and do the same things he did in college, and is able to do those things in the pros as a rookie. And like, to be able to do that so quickly, I don't think Michael Vick played this well. I don't know if he even played that much his rookie year. So I think this is really an incredible thing that we're seeing. And really the future for this kid is brighter than ever, because he's getting some great, great lessons on the field right now, and he's passing all the tests. So if they can go ahead and win out this year and it would be one incredible, incredible feat for it.
That's Tim Brown. So you're looking at Matt Leinart, Tony Romo, Jeff Garcia, Vince Young, Rivers, all these quarterback stories. Is Vince Young the best of all of them, Len?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I know this, that didn't they say, well, the guy doesn't throw right. He shouldn't make it in pro. He just uses his legs to do it. And I think when he heard so many negative things about himself, that probably turned him into a positive thing. And the thing is, he's able to do it. He's done a lot of it with his legs, Nick, with running with the football. And he's a big, strong young man. And I think he's going to get better, because eventually, like all those runners that do a lot of running, eventually they get banged pretty hard, and then something happens, they get an injury or something, and they can't do that. So he has to improve, I think, on the other aspects of the game. And it's amazing to me that he's been able to do what he has done. And what happens is this. You know, the veterans on there say, oh, damn, here's another rookie quarterback, a phenom that can't do anything. And all of a sudden, he does things. See, first of all, to gain the confidence of your teammates, you have to do something on the field. And he's been able to do that. Now, all of a sudden, they say, hey, we got a guy here that can get this thing done. So now maybe if I do a little better job at my position, we're going to win more ball games. And I think it gets contagious like that. And it started with Vince Young himself doing it. And I see him, how energetic he is, how emotional he is, and how fired up he is. Looks like he loves to play the game. And that can become contagious with the rest of your squad. So they want to upgrade their level of play because they can see, well, this young quarterback is doing it, so I better do the same thing.
Well, let me put this to both of you. How much of it is coaching? The fact that Norm Chow is one of my favorite coaches, the job that he's done, he could have gotten Matt Leinart, but look at what he's done there. How much of that is coaching when you hear what Tim Brown said about Michael Vick, who 7 weeks ago, everyone was saying, has finally taken that next step? Larry.
Well, I think one of the great things that Tennessee has done is kind of let Vince Young be Vince Young. They're not overcoaching. They're not restraining him. They're not keeping him from the things that he does. And as a result, on a team where you probably can't name the running back or any of his receivers, he's able to keep plays alive, stretch the field, and make the defense defend horizontally and vertically at the same time. He wears defenses out, and that's what leads to these great comebacks.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, last words with Len Dawson and Larry Weisman of USA Today. We're going to talk about Cincinnati. How big a heartbreak is it when you have a botched extra point attempt after you've come from behind like that? We're going to talk about Cincinnati, San Diego, and Denver, and what their part in the playoffs might be. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and SiriusXM.